Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode, a weird episode here today. It's a workshop where I have some friends joining me. This is Creatives Ignite. I'm Diane Gibbs. I'm your host. And oh, hey, Brian Perry. We are going to get started. You can also download this fancy worksheet. I'm going to put it in the chat. Hopefully it's the only thing in the chat that plopped up, but there we go. If you want to download it too, you can work along right alongside with us if you want to. And we are going to get started first by we finally get to see what Brian Bundy looks like and Regime looks like. Amy Lynn's been on the show before. Paul's been on the show before. I'm glad to have everybody in the chat too. And so what I want you to do is just say who you are. We'll do the best we can because this is what we're all about today. Who we are, where we are, and what one thing of your business that you do, what you focus on. Paul, I know you've done this plenty of times, so I'm going to pick on you first.
Okay. So I'm Paul Nylander. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my company is Illustrata Design. My focus is on book design, covers and interiors.
Okay, perfect. Amy, because you've done this as well, so that Regime and Brian get a little bit of pressure off to hear how somebody else does it. So Amy, you go next.
Hey, everybody. My name is Amy Lynn, and I live in Napa, California, and I focus on packaging and branding for the wine and alcohol beverage sector.
Awesome. All right. Regime, how about you? Best for last, Brian, best for last.
Hi, everyone. I'm Regime Douglas. My organization is Art of Hoochie, and it's an art nonprofit focusing on health and wellness art creative projects with awesome. The community.
Cool. All right, Brian.
My name is Brian Bundy. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm a graphic designer and artist.
Awesome. Okay, we are, and I'm Diane Gibbs, I'm your host, and we're going to jump right in. I'm going to share my screen first and go through this quick thing to kind of give them and you an idea of what we're doing. If you're just joining us, I have just copied and pasted again in the chat. Amy, would you mind copy? You can hit the three little dots and hit copy, and then when somebody else pops in, can you just plop that back in the chat? So if they want to follow along, they can. This is a three-part series that we are going, you guys don't have to do it every week, but if you want to, you can. But me and whoever wants to join me is going through some, I just combined a whole bunch of books that I have read, and it's also something that I really struggle with, and I've seen other people struggle with. We've worked on it in Power Station lots, so that's why I know Paul and Amy know how to do this. So that's why I picked on them first. But sometimes it's we meet people at all different places. We don't really know what they need from us or want from us. Sometimes it's networking, and sometimes it's just in line at Lowe's. If you're over the pond, then a home improvement store or somewhere they sell wood and screws and stuff. But it's important. Oh, hey, Adrian, he's over the pond in Ireland. So again, we need some ways to be able to ask some questions to be able to do this. So I'm going to share my screen. It's hard to do all of it at the same time. So this is how you tell compelling stories, what they're talking about in stories that stick. Choose Your Story, Change Your Life. Both of those books are by Kendra Hall. Also, Donald Miller's Building a Story Brand and Marketing Made Simple, plus a whole lot of other books. And then just other stuff that I have figured out on my own. I don't really get through tons of bridging gaps, but that'll be the next session. But this one is about telling stories. So maybe you're like me, Matt. I know you said you were, and it just was overwhelming. I have so many things that my business does or that I am doing. And if I met Paul out on the street and I didn't know him and he said, oh, you're a graphic designer, what do you do? Or you know, do stuff with in art and design, I really don't know what to say. And sometimes I can freeze about it, to be honest. I have a friend, my friend Will, who some of y'all know, he always is like, you do the intros too, Diane. And so I always struggle. So because this is something I struggle at, I have helped lots of other people because I see them struggle, but it's also something that's really important for me to work out for myself as well. So we all have all these things. Our business has multiple facets. We have to kind of figure out how to do that. In these books, it's saying that stories is a really important way instead of generalizing. So let me see. So to avoid the overwhelm, we are today, the five of us, or and all of you who are in the chat, are going to pick just one part of your business. Just one thing. You can go do all of them later, but you're going to do one thing right now. So we're going to tackle one story at a time, and you're going to analyze it. We're actually going to start with some stories that we know really well, maybe not our business stories, to just have some practice, because I think practice is really important. So some of you, I know Brian's done this. I know Paul's done this. I appreciate y'all doing this. So Imagine Ember is just one part of my business. It's a creativity exercise that goes through the month of November. And so I could do all of these questions today, or this story breakdown, just with Imagine Ember. So think about, like, for Amy, you could do it for the wine makers or vineyards or people who are doing beer only, you know, maybe it's a brewery. Or Paul, you could do it for nonfiction authors instead, or artists who are authors, or you could just focus on children's book authors or illustrators. So think about, like, one segment of your business, because from this, you'll be able to have lead magnets, you'll be able to have landing pages, maybe presentations that you can give. And again, we're trying to reach one type of customer. All right. So why should we be telling stories instead of just listing features and benefits? Can I see a show of hands from y'all who has listed out features and benefits if somebody's trying to hire you? Do you ever list things out? Me too. I do. Amy's like, I don't do that, Diane. You and Paul are losers because y'all do that. I have, like, this, you can choose this package. I know she's not saying that really. Which package are you wanting? And then it's kind of comparing what is there. So for me, features and benefits, and I can't see in the chat. So if anybody's saying, yeah, I do that in the chat, Amy, maybe you can be like, yeah, hey, so-and-so is saying that in the chat, because I can't read the chat right now. Anyway, in features and benefits, it's not very memorable or shareable. So I might say something specifically about how Amy, you know, she does blank, blank, and blank about her wine, or she does blank, blank, and blank about for a brewery or something. But those are just features and benefits. And we remember stories and we tell stories. So we need to come up with some stories that are around our business. So what are some of the components of a good story? Well, both StoryBrand, Donald Miller, and Kendra Hall, the stories that stick, talk about, well, Donald Miller talks about having a transformational character. And if you don't know who this is Amy Cuddy. I don't know her. I wish I knew her. She's also a professor, I think, at like Harvard or some real smart school. And she has a TED Talk, which is linked on the page below. If you're watching on YouTube or whatever, I will share this link in just a second. But she has a TED Talk, and she talks about a transformational time in her life. She actually talks of her story has two transformational parts. She was in a car accident as like a freshman in college, and she identified as an intellectual. She identified with her IQ number. And after this accident, she had a severe head injury, and it took her like 7 or 14 years. I can't remember which it is. To finish undergrad even. And she, like, degrees down, many numbers down was her IQ after this. And you really do what Donald Miller does in when he does a story brand, when he talks about it with his workshops, he talks about that you really have to paint the picture of your customer before they interact with you. And in her, she is the transformation was before, and then she has this event, the car accident, and then the after. But then she also has another event, a transformational event, and then she has an after, and now she has a PhD and written books, and she's super smart and shares a lot of great information. But we really need to be able to paint that picture of what the before and the after and the transformational event is. So Kendra Hall talks about it being the normal, the explosion, and the new normal. So I'm going to share a story for you, a personal story, so you get the idea, and then we're going to go through and do a personal story. Y'all are going to do a personal story. So early on, dogs were introduced. That's me. See, I wasn't a natural blonde. That's my cousin, Kathy. And that is her dog, Snoopy. She had like three dogs, but Rex was really big, really slow key dog. Snoopy had a little bit of energy, but I, at this point, was not scared. This is, I don't know, Amy, how old do you think I am? You and Regime are moms here. So can you have any idea?
I think 1.5 or 2.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty young. Look pretty at those little. Chunky little arms, right? So I am not visibly afraid of this dog at this point. Hey, Brian White. But it's coming. So then there is no picture of the explosion event, as Kendra Hall talks about. But I want you to know, this was maybe I could have been 5 at this picture. I could have been 4. I believe this event happened when I was 3 or 4. And it was so, it so shook me as a person that it affected the next 10 years of my life. So there's really no picture of the event, thankfully. But I want you to know what my dad and my sister looked like at around this time, because I thought they were watching me die. And they were laughing. That's what I thought. And I, you know, it doesn't really make sense as a kid, but that's what it was. The explosion was this dog next door was a Boston Terrier. They have a lot of energy, if you know, but they're small dogs. I had petted him through the fence many times, but I had never interacted with a dog like that, I guess. And we were going, the neighbor was out of town, and me and my dad and my sister were going over to feed him. Well, I was always vertically challenged, and the dog honed in on me and put his hands or his little paws, his front paws on my shoulders, knocked me over, and started, I thought, eating my face. And my dad and my sister were just laughing as I was dying. That's what I thought. And it shook me so bad that I was deathly afraid of dogs until I was 12. I mean, deathly. I would shimmy up mailboxes to get away from them. And when I was in 5th grade, my family went to my Aunt Jo's house, and they had 2 dogs, a Chihuahua and a Saint Bernard, quite a range of sizes there. But the Chihuahua was fine. I was okay with that, because it was a little bit smaller than a cat. But I was like, the Saint Bernard was huge. And I said to my dad, I said, I guess I'm going to spend the weekend in the car. I don't even know what I was thinking about, because my bladder would have still exploded at some point. But I was not getting out of the car because I was that afraid of dogs. And my dad finally got me out, but I stood on his shoulders. He's 6'1". I stood on his shoulders, not sitting, because I knew that dog could get my legs if I was sitting on my dad's shoulders. And I went inside, and I did get to be okay with Barnaby. He was a really, really sweet dog, but I still was very deathly afraid of dogs. And that was the new normal. Ever since I was 3, or 4, when that little Boston Terrier knocked me over, the new normal was deathly afraid of dogs. I mean, really bad. So my dad said this was this was not okay. I think my dad was very embarrassed about how I was, and he had no idea that I was this afraid of dogs from that one event. And I've told Amy this already, but I think it's the Choose Your Story, Change Your Life book by Kendra Hall. She talks about Taylor Swift. And when Taylor Swift was in 2017 or 2018, I'll stop the share so you can see, in 2017 or 2018, she didn't win any Grammys. And, you know, a lot of times people will have a run and then they're like, I guess it's the end. That's the end of the run. What I'm making isn't what's right for people anymore, and they give up. And we've seen this a lot in the music industry, right? It's just how a lot of people, the mindset. But Taylor never gave up. Even if you don't like Taylor Swift, I love this story. She was like, no, this is just the middle of my story. This is not the end. And I think that that is a powerful statement. So when things get hard, where are you going to let it just be the middle? And where are you going to push through and keep going? So was that the end of the story? If you know me, you know that my dog was in our wedding. And so that was not the end. But sometimes the stories we have behind us aren't serving us. So we have to rewrite them. Sometimes, obviously, that was not really what happened. But in my mind, that was what was truth. So I had to rewrite that story. Sometimes we have to rewrite that story. I know I used to say I wasn't an illustrator, but now I say I am an illustrator. And I think that that was a story that I had to rewrite. So the explosion was in fifth grade, we got a puppy. This was her. This is Sugar. She was 7 in the picture to the left. And I don't know if she's 3 or 4 in the picture to the right. She was about 60 pounds of slobber, and she was awesome. She was super gentle, sweet dog. She did rip my pants up to past my thigh one time when she was a puppy, but it didn't ever bother me. I was okay with dogs. The new normal was that, so much so that I've had 3 dogs. They're not all little Jackson's on the left here, buddies in my arms and my wedding dress. My dad was upset that I had my dog on my wedding dress, and then I had a 120-pound dog, Jerry. So, it's not just small dogs. It is any size dog I'm not afraid of anymore, but that's my new normal. And the story continues, but I rewrote it. So what I'd like for us to do is for us right now during this workshop to think of a personal story. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time. I want you to think, it doesn't have to have a second explosion and a second new normal, but I'm going to give you 3 minutes. We don't all have to go, but I've already gone. But anybody want to start us off so that I'm not just calling on you? Or I can just call on you and you can say skip. That will be you can just skip if you're like, I'm not ready.
I can go.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
I don't know how exciting it is, but
it doesn't matter. We're just practicing, but okay. We know our personal stories better.
That's true. Okay. So I guess the explosion moment for me is the potato chip bags. I think you've heard this story before, Diane.
But tell a little bit of the normal, what it was before.
I would just say that's how I was thinking about it, was in terms of what that kind of pivot or crux point was. So, so quickly leading up to, so I had made a mid-career pivot into graphic design, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. For various reasons, but I wasn't quite sure what that meant or how I was going to do it. But I was pretty sure it involved working at an agency, doing a agency kind of design, ad design work. Until one day I was touring an agency here in Minneapolis and saw all of their beautiful skyline view and big giant IMAX and everything you'd ever want as a designer in an agency world. And they were talking so excitedly about this project they had. about redesigning this particular brand of potato chip bags. They had this $200,000 budget to do the graphics and everything, and they were just all so happy about it. And that was kind of the I guess explosion point for me, because I realized at that moment I didn't want to design potato chip bags. So I wanted to design. I was in this pivot. I was doing this, but it just sort of the life got sucked out of me right then, because I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? This is the future. And ended up talking to a friend at the time and about what to do. And he was asking me, well, you know, what do you like, Paul? And I don't know, you know, I like books a lot. You know, I like collecting books. I like looking at books. I like reading books. So he was like, well, design books. And that was, you know, it's such a silly little moment, but at the same time, it literally changed the course of my life right at that moment. And that's why I'm a book designer today. So
I love that story. Who'd like to go next?
I don't know if this is exactly what you're talking about, but I'll give it a shot. So I was incredibly shy as a kid. I still consider myself to be fairly shy, but, you know, it's just, you know, I was quiet. I was, you know, a tiny little person and, you know, just wanted to blend into the wall. Well, in college, I went on like a summer exchange and made a friend. And when I came back to our regular school, she encouraged me to go through Sorority Rush, and she was in a sorority, and it had never crossed my mind, but I ended up going through Rush, and I joined her sorority. And because I was in the sorority, I learned how to just kind of do small talk. And, you know, I had to do it because, you know, once I was in, then there was Rush the next year where, you know, all the new people would come and want to learn about your sorority. So I just learned to, you know, ask them questions about themselves and to talk about my own sorority. And, you know, while it's not, you know, still not super comfortable, you know, the way I can translate that to my business is I do feel like I can talk to anybody now. So.
And it was life changing.
Public speaking is a whole nother thing. Yeah, it was life changing, I would say.
And even something just as small as small talk, and knowing, being comfortable to be able to do that was a huge thing. And then having your friend believe in you. Right? Okay, Regine, are you back? Do you have the audio? Joe, are we good on the audio? I'm just kidding. I'm just pretending like Joe's the sound guy.
Yes. As a kid, I was the person that I was always drawing, doing something creative and teaching others. But in my life around my parents in that, I didn't feel I had a voice. So I wouldn't speak up on things or go against what they wanted me to do. I actually went into those careers as nurse and even went into the military. And after I got out of the military, after I had my daughter, I actually, my dad had passed, and I went to Chicago. And one of my cousins, he created everything. And I've always been told that you have to pick one love, one passion. And I saw his house, and he had created the blinds, the his wife's clothes. He made metalworking, woodworking, and his house was like immaculate. I had to get to that point to then go back to school. So the explosion, I guess, for me was even when I went to school, I didn't get my degree. And then I had to work through that. So then it was like, oh my gosh, I am a good artist, but this is telling me I'm not. So I had to worked through that. And I ended up the same year I didn't get my degree, I joined the art walk, the local art walk. And I thought, okay, I'm a volunteer. I'm going to just do this. Well, 4 years after that, I ended up with the nonprofit. And so I'm here now, teaching and doing art and everything.
That's awesome.
And that's it.
So you were able, one, to see hope in your cousin. He debunked that you couldn't do everything, or you couldn't be a maker, or you had to choose just one. But also that you just volunteered and thought you were not going to be in the role of artist. And now you are in that role as an organization, as an artist, and as that teacher.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, Brian.
I was thinking about, since you were talking about your dogs, I mean, I had two different dogs growing up. But some of everyone's other stories kind of sound similar too.
But that's good, right? So in a way, we're learning that from that, we are connecting. Like, you connected with me about a dog, or maybe being afraid of dogs, or not afraid of dogs, or being an artist, or being shy, or realizing that you did not want to design a certain thing. There are all kinds of, that's why we have, why we tell stories, and why hopefully you feel more connected to each other. So was there a time, maybe it was just, again, it can be anything that you felt like you made a change, or it was even just a mindset shift in that. Can you think of anything, Brian? Okay. All right. So you'll be next then. So the next thing, I'm going to share my screen, and I'm going to plop in. So we've done a personal story. For those of you in the chat, hopefully you're able to do a personal story as well. Maybe you have a product that you have liked. A lot of times we think about products with those features and benefits, but is there a product that you tell people about, and it's not just based on the price of the product, but maybe on how much value it has brought to you? Next week, we're really going to dive into the value story, but this week, the product story, I'll tell you one of mine. I'm going to stop the share. I love this light. It's extendable. It's dimmable. See, I'm getting lighter. And then you can turn it flat off. But look how this is just, I don't have any lights on in my room. I have a window. And if I just had that window, it really would be too dark, right? Don't you think this is too dark? And it's cool. I never use this undimmed, but you don't see it. Sometimes people have said, oh, I thought you had a window over here. So to me, I used other light for a long time, but I love light. I need light. Paul has all these windows in his office, and Amy has all these windows in her office, and I need light. Like, it helps me to think and have energy. So for me, getting this lamp was a game changer. So if I'm standing up, I can just move my light up. If I'm sitting down, or if I'm reading, I can do it like this. Obviously, I wouldn't want to do it like that on a call, but I have the ability to adjust and have more natural. I didn't want it to feel too yellow or whatever. So to me, this lamp, I remember Dustin Lee asking in a post one time, he said, what have you bought that's under $100? And I was like, this lamp I would buy again. When my husband needed a desk lamp, I bought him this lamp. It wasn't $60 anymore, but I love this lamp. I also, one other story, maybe these will be a little faster, but Wacom tablet. It's not Wacom. If you go to their website, they say Wacom. So anyway, but I had, this one is 10 years old. I had my last one for 22 years. That's a really good deal on value of $125 spread out over 22 years. Or it was not even, maybe it was 140 or something now, or I don't know. It was not very much. But I love this, but not just for the price and that it lasts a really long time. I think that says something really good about Wacom, but I don't get carpal tunnel and I'm able to draw. I use this as my mouse and it helps my, I mean, we're on the computer a lot. So to me, that I don't have to replace it every few years is really powerful, that they're making a good product. I really believe in that company. Clearly my husband's eating and my dog is crying because he's food focused. Hopefully you can't hear him crying, but the normal would be what it was like before and how I felt I looked on screen when it felt too yellow or too dark. It wasn't helping me to be productive because the light helps me to have energy. So then the explosion was when I tried this lamp and I loved it. And it was functionally, it allowed me to feel better, work longer. It was a better functioning product for me. Wacom tablet as well. I love that I don't have carpal tunnel. So the value, hopefully you see the value in those two. If you were writing the same story for product explosion, new normal, it's not really explosion. It was more like, I bought it. This is what life was like before. And here's what, you know, life after. Does anybody, Brian, do you have a, can you think of, let's just talk this out, not take any time. Quiet. Can you think of a product?
I mean, yeah, I can think of something. I haven't had it for 20 years.
I hadn't had this lamp for 20 years. I've only had this lamp for maybe three.
What it is it's a ink. It's actually for calligraphy. But there's this group of artists that I have a meeting with every week. And we all started using it to draw. It's a pilot calligraphy pen.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the other room, of course, when I have to talk, but I have the package, but.
Oh yeah. Okay. So what were you using before?
I would just use a regular pen, but using this to draw things. I mean, you can do thick lines. You can do real thin. If you push down really hard, it gets a lot of ink out. So you can do a lot of different things with it.
So instead of bringing six pens around, if you went somewhere, you just really need this one.
Yeah.
So and how do you... Oh, you go ahead.
It's fun to use. And I mean, you have to refill it. Because it comes with like two different inks.
That's cool. So, but it's changed. Have you seen that you are drawing more when you're using this than when you were before?
Yeah.
So that's transformation, right? That would be awesome for Pilot. What a great customer story you have for them, right? That's awesome. Okay. Anybody else? You can talk through it if you want. It doesn't have to be so formal.
I have one.
Okay.
So for me, I had Androids only for budget reasons as a single parent. And for me, when I was bought a iPhone and the notes section and the ability to save all my photos, my videos, my audio, take notes, it just like exploded in my brain. I could, my ADD brain was like, what? I could just write this down and save it and go back. And it has like, I put in there book titles. So I could just put the name of a book that I want to write. Or draw an idea, and it's just right there. So for me, the iPhone and the iPad has been tremendous for me as an artist.
That's
I mean,
good.
if they want to, if they want to endorse me, that's fine.
Of course, of course. That's great. Okay, so we're going to move on so that we can finish this little portion. So I'm going to share my screen one more time, and I'm going to go through the rest of this, and then we're going to, but again, sometimes it's easier if you're telling something that is, it's not connected to your business at first, just to get the practice of doing it. So we told a personal story. We've told a product story. You could tell a service story. And I would also encourage you to tell a customer story, your customer story. So one of the customer stories that I wanted to tell is, it's also dog related. I was just going with the theme today. I have a doggy daycare that I used to make a magazine called Alabama Dog with two ladies. And one of them was this client. And I end up talking about, hey, Dave Co. And hey, Dee, I end up talking about, who her customer is. I tell my customer's customer story, right? So this is a GIF that I made for her to share during, like on social media, because a lot of her clients have labs or golden retrievers. That's like her biggest client, I guess, is that kind of dog. But the before was, these dogs are tearing up. Do you have this? And this picture told everything, right? I wish GIFs would play in InDesign, but they don't. So then this is the before. Obviously, the dog's healthy, but they're not happy. They're very frustrated. During play care, so once you come to play care, doggy daycare, and your dog is played with, they're socialized, they get trained, they actually get a bath before they go home every day. And then this is actually a photo of one of her clients' dogs. This isn't one that I had manufactured. The middle, the during and the after are the real dog. That is the same dog. Its name was Indy. The other one was just one I had to find online. As a designer, we have to be, we have to be able to find it. You can tell they're different because their nose, but this was the situation. They didn't have time to run their dog every day and to do all these things. So just this simple before, this was normal. The explosion is the during and then the after. Now they have this dog that is healthy, is trained, clean, and is great for snuggling and is part of the family. But now the dog is getting exercise and training and socialization. So this was a customer story, but the customer is really this woman who is a busy working mom, and they love this dog. They just didn't have time to do all the things that this dog had energy for. So taking her dog to play care 3 days a week was a huge solution for this family, that now she was able to give more time to her kids, give more time to her work, and not feel so stressed about what she had to do with her dog once she got it home. So that's a customer story that my customer, Cindy, could tell any of her other customers. For me, this is something that I could tell somebody if I wanted to do social media or if I was doing more ads. We can tell some simple stories of these before. And this was in 2014 I made this. So this was way before I read these books, but we did a before, during, and after. Here's the thing in this, and you'll notice this on the worksheet. It says, my shoe just got caught on my chair in a really weird way. Okay, I'm out. I'm free. It's okay. No worries. There are four little boxes. So every story you write, I want you to write it, and then you might have to rewrite it. You want to make sure you have an identifiable character. Are you telling enough about? Paul talked about him being a designer. He talked about him going back to school, him pivoting. And this is his second career or maybe third career. But he went back and he thought this is what he wanted. And the explosion was the specific details of walking through. They were doing a tour and he remembered that it was $200,000, you know, it was a big budget, and that these designers were so excited. We know this. We identify with Paul when he's talking about that. And then we also identify, like, the authentic emotion that he shared without even trying was that there was maybe this disappointment. Oh, this isn't what I wanted. Have I wasted this time? Have I, you know, I can imagine, Paul, I don't know if you want to chime in, but like for you in that moment of, oh crap, I do not want to design potato chip bags. Is that all this is going to be? Like, what were you feeling if you had to put a label on that as an emotion?
Yeah, that was a moment of dread because I was making this change, which I was excited about, but the change wasn't, it wasn't to what I wanted something. It wasn't to something I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you were maybe scared that, oh my gosh, I've just made a bad mistake of, I've spent all this time and money getting this second degree.
I had sold my old business and I mean, moved and yeah, a lot had changed right then to make this happen. So
then significant moment, Paul, what I can imagine, or Brian or Amy or Regine, can you think of what was the significant moment or a that you can see that was Paul's transformation? Can you think of like a specific moment in that, or a significant moment, like I guess in his life, or just verbalize what that was, although he sort of already did? Anybody? Not everybody.
Like when the friend said, what do you like to do?
Yeah. There. So just that even he talked to that friend and told them, oh my gosh, right? I think that that's a really, that is a very significant moment. I don't know if that is, there are multiple moments in this, I think, but that is, that's where the, it turned. He didn't feel just dread or, oh my gosh, I've made a bad choice. It being the end of the story, his friend gave him a option of this is just the middle and, or just the beginning. You're just need to choose a different focus. So the little check boxes are there so that you can go, you write it once and then you can go back and see, oh, I need to add a little bit more in identifiable character. So I feel like when I shared the story about the lamp, it wasn't, there maybe wasn't a significant moment, but can any of you think of something that I could use as a significant moment for that story, even if you're just making it up?
Being able to see something in your own work that you hadn't noticed before, the colors maybe or something.
Okay, perfect. So I think I got this like right before COVID, but I feel like I was doing these podcasts. I was doing more of these at home and it felt, so COVID would be something again that would connect to everybody. And again, it's a great story for that. I'll put a link in the chat. Five, it's called PHIVE lamp. But if there's something you're missing, again, you might need to have somebody else go over it with you. But most of the time we can see what is the identifiable character. Sometimes it's going to be you as the designer or you as the customer, or sometimes it might be a customer. Paul, I can think about your man who's written a few books with you. He's an older gentleman and he's written about the war, right? Like he wants to share his stories. He is the identifiable character because he's had this life and he's made decisions and he's worked really hard and he has this loving family. So we identify with that man. So with, again, think about identifiable character, specific details. Usually it's easy. You can always cut some specific details out. What she learned was in her research that even if you have only one of these four, that you will connect with more people and that it will be more memorable. And you're telling more of a compelling story, that in, even if you have one, but if you have all four, people remembered and felt connected to. I think this is why I love Amy Cuddy's story, because she tells her story. There is emotion. She gets choked up. And she has these two explosion scenes in it. And to me, it's very impactful. She had a professor that really changed another aspect of her life. And to me, that was I connected by it giving me hope. Like, even though things aren't super easy for me, I can do it. If Amy Cuddy can do it, I can do it. I hadn't even had a brain injury, you know, but like significant moment, authentic emotion. I don't know if you have to say the word emotion, but you have to express it. So I think Paul did a great job in telling his story without having to say, I was feeling dread or whatever. But if you have to say that, then say it. So think about doing these and having those little checkboxes, going back through and writing the story a little bit better if you can. I'm going to try to share my screen again and finish these. The last two things is, one is to have an example. No, none of these people are talking about having an example. I'm sure, Lord, everybody has examples, right? But they didn't say specifically, but what if you use a specific customer example that you, maybe you have five different kinds of books that you make, a children's book, Paul, you do an artist book, you do like a textbook, and you do maybe a fiction book. I don't know what the fifth one would be, but maybe something that is in, that it's in another language, or it's in an indigenous language. That could be another one. And you have a specific story that you're able to tell of all five. So you're working on five different stories, depending on who you're talking to. And you talk about who they were before and who they were after they met you, and after, and then how proud they are of their book or their wine label or whatever it is, because of what you, Amy's doing the wine labels, not Paul. I didn't want to get everybody confused, but I think that just even something simple like this, doing these exercises of things I know you can do, because we do a ton of research on our clients, then it's a little bit easier to tell the story. So if I'm thinking about an example of Imagine Ember, I can think of how, what Paul said about it the first year, or how I've done things like that with my students where they're able to compare, and they aren't thinking that they should be better at finding the blobs or whatever. Like, they are happy to just have the experience. The only other one I think is really helpful, and I know Carrie's heard this a ton just because she's been in my classes, I use a lot of analogies, and I think some people really, it really helps to have an analogy. Sometimes it breaks the monotony or of just another example. Sometimes the analogy can be memorable because it's funny, or so have an example of a real client experience, or have an analogy, or have both, so that you can use both. Because when I'm teaching something, I will often have an example, but it's not enough. So then I use analogy, and it tends to stick longer because it's memorable, or it was unexpected. And I think if you can just find some analogies, I do stuff with gardening or with bras or with all kinds of things. Today I had an analogy with diarrhea. So it's all kinds of things you can use analogies with. Obviously you need to be appropriate for the setting. I'm probably a little bit inappropriate in that, and poop and bras, but it is memorable and hopefully helps to keep that, make that whatever you're learning long-term. So those are the two things I'm adding to this. So use examples, real examples, not general. So when you're thinking about your business, break it down into all the things that you would want to be able to sell or tell someone about. Because if you're at a home improvement store or at the grocery store, you're going to run into people that may or may not be somebody that you would ever do business with, but you don't know. But if you had a compelling story that talked about websites, I make websites, that made a difference. I need to really think about what the customer, if I was running a website for somebody like Amy, would be different than me talking to a website for somebody who is a baker, maybe, or somebody who is somebody in the creative industry, not that a baker's not creative, but somebody who's like has a e-commerce business. I don't know why baking would be e-commerce. That would be a really terrible e-commerce. That's all moldy. Don't do baking e-commerce. But I need to think about these different kind of customers and then when I might run into them, because then I'm able to talk and have stories on the hand. Because just like what Amy was saying, when you were in learning how to do small talk, you kind of need like an arsenal of information. You need some stories to be able to tell or questions to be able to ask. And I always, if I talk to somebody in line, I'm going to be asking them questions first. And then they might ask me something about my business because I've asked them a few questions. I kind of know how far I need to go about exactly what I do or what part of my business I need to do. Might not even tell them I do web design. I might just talk to them about Imagine Ember. And that's the awkward end of Diane's story. Okay. Did this help you think about your story in a new way? Hopefully you say yes, but it's okay if you say no. Any thoughts you could share, Paul? I see you.
I was going to say, yeah, something else I was struck by, talking about multiple customer stories. They're, they're short and succinct, but really connect with people. But the advantage of having multiples, I was just thinking, like, you know, in a networking setting where you're meeting a lot of people, and you maybe pony up to a couple people and give them your elevator pitch, and then somebody else joins the group, and they're like, oh, so what do you do? So, okay, now you're faced with having to give your elevator pitch again, but there's already people there that just heard it. So you don't really want to do it verbatim because it sounds like, okay, now I'm scripted and this is horrible. But if you're telling stories, you just pivot to a different story. It still has the same underlying idea. The message is coming through, but now it's a completely different example. And the people that already heard the first one won't mind so much hearing another story.
Right. Different story. And hopefully you're telling that you have those, at least one of them. There was a client that had they were the identifiable character. They had an idea for a book, or they had an idea for a type of bourbon or wine or whatever it is, a mural or, you know what I mean? Like, I think if you have some on the hand that I do write on my hand, but if you have some out ready, I think it makes you feel more confident to go in into those. And I love that you're not repeating the story. I think that's a great insight. Okay. Well, hopefully, I don't know what the chat said. I don't have the chat up, but hopefully you got something out of it. The next part is there's a value story, a founder story, and one other that I've just lost because I had another workshop that was 4 hours long this morning. But I hope that this helps. Next week, we'll talk, and I will do a call out probably on Friday if anybody wants to. Obviously, you four people are lovely enough to join. You're welcome again next week, but you don't have to. No pressure. Now my dog's trying to get back in the room. Hopefully this helps. There will be another sheet and I will do better about getting it out. There is a longer video and I just appreciate you guys being here and sharing and being willing to share some personal stories.
Oh, I'm happy that you done this because out of all the creative selves I've gone to and all the people, the artists that I've sat and heard talks and they're like, oh, you should get out there. And I'm like, and I still hadn't. It was this part of telling, finding the story, and I have so many things written down. And so this is actually, it needed to happen now, because now I'm going after some grant money.
Yeah.
So I really need to get this story right.
That's awesome. It helps us all. I think I suffer from this just as much. I can tell Paul's story. I can tell Amy's story. I can tell Brian's story. I can tell Rajim's story. It's hard for me to tell my own. So if I put it in my customer story or what my customers got out of it, it revolutionizes the way I feel about telling my company's story. I don't feel sleazy. I know that seems weird, but I don't, it just like, I don't know. I don't like talking about myself. So, but I can talk about y'all and I can talk about my clients. So I just need to focus on that. And I need to focus on the ones that I want to do more of. So anyway, the end. And I will see you next week. And next week, we're going to break down the value story for sure. And hopefully the founder story. And I'm going to hit stop.